Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center, with the man who comes breezing in because he knows everybody, Mr. Orange County himself, John Gutierrez. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Paul Roberts. Welcome, everybody, again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Senior Vice President John Gutierrez. Thank you all for tuning in again. We have another two special guests with us, one that actually drove in from Sacramento or flew in from Sacramento. So thank you for that, and thank you both for being here. We have Zaira Ramirez Munguera and Rola Halawanji.
Yes.
Halawanji. And Zaira Ramirez Munguera serves as a California Climate Action Corps team leader, and Rola has a wealth of experience spanning over 15 years and currently holds the position of program director for the California Climate Action Corps. Thank you both, ladies, for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. This is super exciting.
And let's get Zaira to lean in a little more.
Just
she's leaning
bit.
Right
there
out of the camera. There she is.
There you go.
Both of you.
We don't want to lose you, ladies. I know we're doing camera. We're doing sound.
We got everything here too.
Yes, and we're going to get into some great topics here on how we're combating climate change. Right? There's a lot going on as far as organizations just being involved and what all you're doing. I think this is some great information. I was just sharing with them that this is information I would love to share with my son, who's in high school, going in to be a senior, getting ready to go to college. I know we have our youth chamber that's part of us. This is great information for these young people to learn what is going on in not only our state. From my understanding, it's going to be rolled out to many states. So we'll get into all of that, right? Again, California Climate Action Corps is what we'll be talking about. But before that, we want our listeners to get to know a little bit about you both, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this industry, because I think that's important that we share with our listeners.
Yeah.
Rola, you want to start?
I'll start. Quick correction. We say
yes.
Core.
Okay.
Because corpse sounds like a corpse.
Oh, okay.
I know that's a common.
I was going to point that out.
So we say core.
Yeah,
action core.
Core.
So
core.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the P and the S is like
it's silent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, and that's good. That's good because then we want to make sure everybody understands the name of it and how it's pronounced. Awesome.
Although if we don't fix it, we're all going to be a corpse. I think that's the problem.
Well, yeah. If we don't combat climate change, that's imminent. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So Rola, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you end up in this industry?
All right. Ooh, how far do I go back? I think in a nutshell, I'm an immigrant. I came here 24 years ago. I wanted to get a higher education. And where I come from, I could have opportunities, but not the opportunities that you would have coming to the States. And I've always been intrigued by opportunities that would come from education. And what started as something that I wanted to do for myself translated into a life passion. I view myself as someone who wants to be a catalyst in other folks' lives. And I stumbled into the workforce development world. And workforce development is so wide, but essentially it's preparing folks, doesn't matter which walk of life they come from, but to put them on a path or on a journey that will lead to access and many more opportunities. Again, like I stumbled into this role and started at Long Beach City College working on, at that time, a transportation and logistics grant and preparing people to access occupations within the logistics sector, and realized really quickly that our environment was a pressing matter, and so shifted my focus to all kinds of career preparations in the environmental and sustainability sector. So this is where I really found my passion, combining the wanting to help other people find their way and also doing something about the climate crisis. It's on everybody's mind, especially our young folks. And yeah, fast forward, I joined the California Climate Action Corps back in April 2021. This program started out as a pilot back then. And I'm just so humbled and grateful to see how big it's grown. And and also being inspired by our fellows and the work that they do every day.
And we'll get into all that because I hear there's over 300 fellows, right?
Yes.
That are boots in the ground. And we'll get into all of that and the program itself. Saina, would you like to share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. Roland, I just want to say that's exactly like what you said. It's exactly what you're doing. I've been always inspired by you since I met you during my first service term. I'm an immigrant too. And
Where are you both from, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm from Jalisco, Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tunisia, north of Africa.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Okay, that's good to know where it all starts, right? Your families, like you said, the migration, the drive, because I think a lot of that has to do with maybe our compassion and our caring of certain topics that we're involved in. Right?
Definitely.
So Jalisco, that's where my dad's from. Go ahead.
Nice. But yeah, I was born there, raised in East LA, Boyle Heights. Found my passion for writing very early on, growing up in a gang-infested community. That was my way of just processing everything around me.
Not to interrupt you, but that is still going on in East LA, huh?
Well, I don't know to what extent, because there has been, like we mentioned, a lot of...
Gentrification.
Yes. How can I forget that term? Yes. But I grew up in that environment. Writing became my outlet, and it led to me pursuing my BA, my BFA at Chapman University in creative writing.
Nice.
And right after that, I knew that I still wanted to be part of a community right after college. And that's when I found the Chamber, the California Hispanic Chamber, and their CAPS program. Became really involved through that program, learned a lot about the economy, small business, and found my passion in helping small businesses, specifically with the digital media space, campaigns, and starting my small business because of the Chamber. They supported me with the grant to start that off and kick it off the ground. Started working with the Latino Food Industry Association and managing a lot of their campaigns as well and administration. And that's when I knew that I wanted to use my writing for something else, for something bigger. And I started doing my research around just agriculture, the food industry, and I found California Climate Action Corps on Instagram, actually, and I saw it as a great opportunity to just learn more about the environment. And that's really how I got started, just followed my curiosity, my intuition. But importantly, I think this memory from Mexico, from Jalisco, where I would flower the garden and feed the birds with my grandparents. And that moment just kept replaying for so long, because I felt so loved and I felt so just cared for, but also it taught me to care for my environment as well. Mm-hmm. And that memory stayed within me for so long until I decided to just really follow that passion of the environment and learning, you know, what can I do? How can I get involved? But also how can I support my community and help my community? And California Climate Action Corps did that. It immersed me right into the field of sustainability, meeting professionals across all different sectors. And I was just with no experience in sustainability or in climate action or climate change. I just threw myself in and allowed myself to just learn and immerse everything in and see where the conversation is going, who are the leaders, who is taking initiative, and how can my skills and my passion fit into that puzzle. And then, it led me to my second term at California Climate Action Corps, and now I'm a team leader.
Nice.
I support their social media, volunteer engagement, and I'm super happy to continue learning and really still figuring out exactly where I see myself growing. I know it's in the sustainability space. I know it's helping the community stay engaged, mobilizing volunteerism, and bringing climate change and climate action and education to our community.
I have to mention this. During the pandemic, everybody was going through that cabin fever that everybody goes through being stuck at home. And my mom, who's from Michoacán, Mexico, would often, and of course, because of the pandemic and COVID, people were scared to go different places. So my mom, who we take care of, loved to just go to the backyard, right? Enjoy the sun. And then she would go and she would hug the tree.
Oh, a tree hugger.
Yes. And I was like, I would look out the window and I'm like, what's my mom doing?
Yeah.
And so I finally one day walked out, right? Being a city boy, city slicker, right? Mom, ¿qué estás haciendo?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm getting energy from the tree.
Some good
energy. This is something that, this is what we do in Mexico for many years. We hug the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because now, last week, we were watching the big Canelo fight with Munguia. And there was a whole story on Canelo and how he goes up to Big Bear and he trains or somewhere up in the mountains. And they show him going into the cold water. And then he would come out of the water and he would go hug a tree.
Wow.
And,
so powerful.
And he would talk to the tree, right?
Yeah.
And it's just interesting how people are better understanding the importance of protecting our climate, our situation, our Mother Earth, right? Yeah. And so let's share with everybody, what is this program about? How it's structured? I've learned a lot myself before the show from all of you. Can we share with the folks, you know, what it is, how it works? What's the goal of it?
Sure. Yeah. California Climate Action Corps is really a call to action that Governor Gavin Newsom was very passionate about. And this program started as a pilot in January 2021. And the idea of this AmeriCorps program is slightly different from others because this is more of a, we want to see more direct actions, less planning, less research, but like you mentioned earlier, boots on the ground, people actually seeing the direct impact that they are doing in the communities that they are serving. And really the mission, the overall mission, is to empower Californians to take actions. This has, regardless of background, regardless of social standing, financial standing, et cetera, everyone can do something about this. And this is funded through the Office of the Governor, specifically called, there's an office called California Volunteers. And the California Volunteers has been instrumental in really launching this program and expanding the reach of it, which is why it has grown in such a short period of time. Every AmeriCorps programs have, we say, different terms and different length in the terms. It started with a cohort of 65 members, and now going into next term, which starts in September, we will have a cohort of 345 members. Mm. Wow. And the impact alone of, I think it's very easy to think, oh, I just planted one tree, that's not very meaningful. But once we start adding the collective impact, now we have planted 6,000 trees. And so it's very unique in that it involves community members directly through volunteering activities. But also, I think our fellows really see the tangible impact. And there is nothing more powerful than one of my fellows back in 2021 shared with me that they had planted about 50 trees in an area that had zero shade, which is very common in an urban setting, especially in low-income communities and underserved communities.
Interesting.
Very common. And we take shade for granted, but tree shade can combat heat island effect. It can cool down. If you have a tree in front of your house, it can cool down your house by 10 degrees in the summer. And so my fellows came and at the end of their term and said, you know, I'm never going to leave my communities, but now I know that every time I pass by this street and this community, I planted those trees.
Yeah, I want to just briefly share. We planted a tree. This is about 20 years ago before my dad passed, about 15 years ago before he passed. My dad was a landscape worker. He was from Jalisco, grew up his whole life working and managing a landscape company. And we own a healthcare hospice company. And there was a lot of people who had passed away that year through a facility that we work with. And so the activities director came to me and said, hey, we should do something for bereavement for these people that have lost their friends in this facility. There's been like 15, 20 people die this year. And I said, we should do something nice. And we said, what should we do for them? And I said to him, why don't we plant a tree in the backyard of the facility? And then we put all the names in little plaques of the people that have passed. And he said, that's a great idea. We'll do a barbecue and we'll bring out all the patients and we'll celebrate their life. And I said, great, let's do this. So I go home and I'm like, wait, who's going to help me plant this tree? So I call my dad. I'm like, and my dad's retired. He's older. And I said, Dad, can you help me plant this tree? He said, yeah, but I'm old. I can't dig a hole like when I was young. And I said, no, they're going to dig the hole. We just need to plant the tree. And so we go by this tree, right? And we bring it. It was already semi-grown. And we bring this little tree in. And I never forget that moment in my life, watching my dad help me plant this tree while all these people were around, all these seniors, right? And they were watching my dad plant this tree. But the way he put the rocks around the tree, he put rocks around, and then he made a little bowl around. Mm-hmm. And I said, Dad, why are you doing that? He goes, because when the water, when you put the water, it's going to sit here. It's going to create an environment of water so it continues to feed the tree water. And I was like, wow, that's brilliant, right? Something so simple that, you know, today, you know, now that my dad's gone and he's, you know, passed away of cancer, I look back to that moment. And I think such a special moment that I shared with my dad planting this tree, and we hung everybody's names there, right? This was, again, almost over 15 years ago. I went back to visit that tree.
Wow.
I want to say about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how big it was. Yeah. And for me, it was a moment of a memory of my father and that moment we spent together. And so our company today, ROC Hospice, that's our logo. We have the tree of life, mm-hmm. right? It's our logo. It's like a memory of my dad and what he did with me and what he did with us. And so people don't have an understanding how important that is.
It's very symbolic.
It's not just about hugging the tree. Yeah. It's not just about planting the tree. Like you said, it's about the process of how you spent with your grandparents.
It's the memories. Right? The times.
The memories. There's so much more to this than just what everybody sometimes thinks. It's politics. It's money. It's this. No. Mm-hmm. You know, you enjoy these moments with your kids.
Yes.
With your families, with your grandpa, your grandma, when you were working in the garden.
It's soothing to work the earth and to actually feel the earth.
Like the health benefits
right,
as well.
On your hands, on your feet, like seeing that a little seed that you plant sprout.
Yes.
I have two little girls, Majdalene and Sophia, 7 and 5.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to my little girl. The awe that they have, and we lose that as we grow older, the awe that we have in putting that seed and seeing that seed sprout and grow and all that stuff, like to them, that means the world to, and we lose that along the way.
Mm-hmm. I think that process is important, that we don't forget to engage. We're in Irvine right now. I live here in Irvine, right down the street, and my kids have been raised in Irvine. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, when we go to other cities, they see the difference of how Irvine has so many trees.
Yep.
And they're like, Dad, how come this city doesn't have as many trees? And it's really difficult to explain to them. This is something that, if you look at Irvine's history and why they put so many trees and the environment and all this, but other cities don't have as many trees.
Yeah, I recently just read a report. Sacramento is now titled the City of Trees because of how many trees were planted, historically speaking. But even now, that is still being continued. And for me, I think that's also very important and why I'm still pursuing my master's in getting my degree in climate and society, because of the lack of urban greening in specifically low-income communities.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Pomona as well, and my mom is also a cancer survivor. And growing up along these trails of trains, but also these huge trucks that are just releasing all this pollution, and not being able to take my mom on walks without her being worried about her health or just the commotion when there's already so much going on, broke my heart. And that's where I would take the initiative to take her to a different city to just take her for a walk so she could be able to relax, so she could be able to process her feelings. Because cancer is unfortunately just growing, and it's so unfortunate that so many people are having to deal with it. But I was very grateful that I had the opportunity to take my mom into a different city, but not everybody could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we continue to create our cities more green, healthy? And I think that's why I'm still pursuing that, because I want to be part of the solution. I want to be able to advocate for my communities and say, this is how they're being impacted. This is how their life quality is being impacted. And when their everyday to day life is being impacted, how do we expect them to show up, to do the best they can do, to grow, to learn, to grow economically, to prosper, to create healthier children, families? It's a vicious cycle. That sometimes, because our families are so stuck in what we call survival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't realize that all these little things impact us so much. And because of California Climate Action Corps, I was exposed to all of these things and learned how all of this has impacted me. And me being able to sit down and reflect and just see the picture of, wow, it makes sense why I wasn't able to sleep at night and went to high school sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the train and all the noise, I would wake up to the trembling and I would have to sleep during lunch.
Interesting.
And still try to wake up and go to tutoring a little bit, catch up. And it was an adrenaline, it was survival mode for me, because I knew how important my education was, but I was still sleep deprived because of my environment. it's an ugly battle, and I think our communities deserve so much more from early on.
I got to tell you, this young lady is impressive.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. She's a future leader. And
your
this
mom
is...
must be very proud of you, your parents.
Oh, yeah.
You. Very impressive to see hear someone your age, right? She mentioned advocate, right? And in that, I want to ask the question, how do more young leaders like yourself get involved?
Get involved with California Climate Action Corps. That's one of so many climate-related programs. There are other AmeriCorps programs in the state. There's Sustainability Service Corps, there's Civic Sparks, yep. there are so many other opportunities to have folks. I love what you said, Saira, because I think you got a chance to also reflect back on the environment and the circumstances you were brought up and now are connecting the dots. And the other part I love it just gives me goosebumps is hearing Saira and other fellows saying, I want to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to do something to better the conditions of my community or the conditions of the people I represent. And this is why this program exists. This program exists because the voices of our fellows, like it is actually, I always get goosebumps, like it is my mission. It is, and by the way, we have an incredible team, passionate staff that will go above and beyond to make things happen for the fellows. And I can tell you that everyone on the team, their mission is to elevate those voices, elevate her voice and every fellow who has experienced what it means to live in an environment that will put sticks in your wheels.
Yeah.
And despite that, you're here and you're ready to do something about it.
As the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and of course, being involved with the state chamber that's part of us, that we're part of, I know Fidel wanted me to ask this question because I think it's so important. And shout out to Fidel, who's one of our longtime members, board members. He said, we need to get more Latinos involved in these jobs and in this space, right?
Yeah.
How do we do that? What do you all suggest? I think that's important, right? That in our communities, in our Hispanic communities, those that are listening, that are watching, understand how important that they get involved too, right?
Yes.
Because we need to continue that education.
Yeah, I think for me, the key source has always been look at what's around you and the free resources that are already there. For me, it was going online on Eventbrite and finding CAPS, you know, signing up through there. That was free. And that opened a whole new door to the chamber, to small business, and then to California Climate Action Corps, which is also a free resource. You could apply and become a fellow and get paid for your service. And even and there, you just open yourself to learning and connecting with others. And the doors would just open on their own when you put your effort, you put your best foot forward, you're willing to learn from others, talk to others, and everything will start connecting. And then just really following that curiosity and that intuition that tells you, oh, this is interesting, or this sounds fun, I want to learn more, how can I learn more? Who can I contact? Who can I ask? And you just start connecting the dots. And I think the most important part is just really being kind and patient with yourself and really just accepting that finding your career, finding your passion. For a lot of us Latinos, because of the lack of resources, we might not know right away. We don't have the immediate exposure to all these careers, and representation is important. In order for us to believe that we can be into these places, we do need to see it, but sometimes we don't. And I think we just need to be kind and patient with ourselves that we could find the way and that the resources are out there, and just put yourself out there. Follow your curiosity, your drive, and believe in yourself.
And before we go, because we only got a few minutes left, I know time has gone by so fast, I want to make sure we also mention that the three main areas that we focus on in this program, and that's urban
greening. So urban greening, I know we talked a lot about tree planting and maintenance. And by the way, that requires skills. Like you can't just go dig a hole and plant a tree. Our fellows do gain a lot of experience becoming potentially on a path to becoming an arborist or an urban forester. We also have
the wildfire, right?
Wildfire resiliency. Mm-hmm. And those are, obviously, we're in California. Fire season is part of our normal lives now. And a lot of our fellows do projects that try to mitigate fire events and also work with communities to do home hardening projects to protect as much as possible in case of a wildfire event. And the other one is edible food and organic waste recovery. And that is more related to limiting the amount of organic foods that goes into landfill. When supermarkets get close, like some products are closer to the expiration date, they just get thrown. And they're still good products. And so we work with a lot of organizations. We have close to 90 partners up and down the state. And some of those partners recover that food and redistribute to families that need it.
I was just mentioning before the show to Saida that very proud of you. You're actually getting an award, a scholarship at our Youth Chamber Banquet next week, which, by the way, one of our main sponsors of that event is our friend Sal Ramirez from Kroger Ralph's Food for Less. And we were just at their corporation in Compton, and they actually do exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They bring all this food that's about to expire back to their facility there, and they have this whole system that they give us a tour about how they create energy from that food that would have gone wasted, right? And so it was really interesting to see how, obviously, more and more, in this case, grocery stores are starting to do this, right? Because obviously the message is getting through to everybody, right?
That's exactly right. It started, it's grassroots. This program is grassroots, and we are learning every day from our fellows and, again, elevating those findings and voices back to the decision makers, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, getting all our fellows involved, but most importantly, the community and bringing that education and that awareness of why it's important to reduce food waste, and even changing our mindset on not calling it food waste, but food scraps.
Yes.
Because sometimes that food can be used in different ways.
Yeah, the CEO of, when we were that day at the event doing the walkthrough, said, it's interesting, we're doing more dumpster diving to see what's in the dumpster that's usable for energy or other things, right? Recycling and all this. And so it's really, the message is getting through, right?
Yeah.
That is an important component. It's no longer just throw it in the trash and then let the trash company take it, right? And like you said, it goes into these landfills, right?
We're running out of space.
Right? Yeah. And creates this, obviously, this problem for our climate, right? So it's good to see that the education, really, if we think about it, the boots in the ground, right? Over 300 fellows that are out there, and over, you said, 100 nonprofit organizations.
Yeah,
right?
We have 90 nonprofit organizations, and this program wouldn't be possible without our partners, obviously. They are the ones that host our fellows and direct their projects, their day-to-day projects. And I tell our partners, you're in the trenches.
Yes.
You're in the trenches, and this program exists so we can provide the very much support needed, especially for small nonprofits that don't really have the capacity, but also prepare our future leaders, which are our fellows, to take the baton and continue on in finding solutions.
Yeah.
Paul, you had a question? I know you were raising your hand over there.
Just a comment. I, like you, am so impressed with these folks, particularly this young lady who is so articulate.
Yes.
And what struck me most is the story of trees. John told a couple, hugging trees, watching his father plant a tree, the importance of a tree in the community to shield you from noise, absorb pollution, all these things. We never tell the story of trees.
Yeah.
The importance of trees in our life. Not just you think, okay, it'd be nice to have some shade. This is a critical component in communities. I guess I'm just taken aback.
And I think it's important that we continue this conversation. Obviously, the show's only 30 minutes and we're getting to the end of it. But, you know, where can people go out and find you all? What's the website? How can they reach you? If you can share that with our listeners, what is it? Is there an Instagram, or what do you guys prefer?
Yeah, we do have an Instagram, California CA Climate Action Corps. And we also have
a website.
Okay.
It's CA Climate Action Corps, all one word, and Corps, C-O-R-E. P-S.
But it's said core, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's spelled P-S. .org.
C-A Climate Action Corps .org.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important we share that information because, like I said earlier in the show, I want people like my son, who's going into his high school senior year and eventually into college, I really want him to learn what these programs are and what they're about, right?
Yeah.
And that we continue that education.
Yes. I would also highly suggest once they visit our social media or Instagram specifically, go to our link tree, and there you'll find our golden volunteer portal.
Ooh.
And that's where you'll be able to go and see all the events that are being hosted for community members to volunteer and attend. And they vary from urban greening, wildfire resilience, and the food recovery. And this is a great space to meet local members, to get to know what are the issues.
There's a whole community there, right?
Whole community there. So highly encourage everybody.
I think that's important, right? As a father, I would love my son to get involved in those communities and volunteer. And I've always said to him, look, son, at least in my generation, back in the 90s, that was one of the things my mentors always said, volunteer.
Yes.
And you'll see one day a job will come out of that. And when you're volunteering, that's when people get to see you be you, right? Help out for free. And eventually they're like, you know what? We're growing and we need somebody over here. How would you be interested in this job over here, right?
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I tell my son. I'm like, that's the best way you're going to find what you love.
And you're most likely going to find great people, too.
Right, exactly.
And on top of that, you'll walk away with a great resume and something to add on your resume as a high school student, volunteer hours, which looks great. But I think the most important part is finding a community and finding good people, good friends, and being part of the conversation.
Yes, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Just giving you the wrap up.
Oh, he's telling me wrap it up. For everybody listening, go ahead.
We're recruiting right now.
Oh,
so
okay.
This is a great time to apply for the program.
We're recruiting. Let's go.
Please put in your application. Like I said, we have projects up and down the state of California, and there is a project for everyone out there.
And this is, in essence, a proof of concept in California that'll be rolled out across the country, right?
It has rolled out to 5 states and 3
already?
Others have joined. Yep.
Here we go.
Mr. Biden officially announced it not too long ago. So yeah, it's going to be, it's already rolled out.
The American Climate Corps, which actually this very program all humbly served as a model for the rest of the states and the nation.
Yeah.
Rolla, I want to say thank you for being that mentor and that leader in our community. And to Saida, I want to say congratulations on your scholarship that you're, hopefully we're going to see you next week, right?
Yes. I just want to give a big, huge shout out and thank you to the OC Youth Chamber, because this scholarship is going to fund my MA at Columbia. And I'm moving to New York.
Columbia University.
Columbia University.
Wow, congratulations.
So, thank you. And thank you once again. Yeah.
I'm sorry I have to say the show must end. It's a 30-minute show, but I think we've shared some great stories. Obviously, hopefully, for those of you listening, get involved. They're looking for more great leaders in the community. And I think you're going to find that there's so much more to what this program is providing. It's more than what you imagine, right? And so definitely get involved. For those of you listening, please follow us on social media at OCHCC. You'll also find some of this information there that we'll be sharing, because that's really what our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is. And so, ladies, thank you so much for being here. Please continue to do all the good work you're doing, and we'll hopefully see you down the way and anything else that we can help support you in.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Paul Roberts, take it away, sir.
Wow, if that doesn't bring you back for more, I don't know what will. Moving stories of what's happening and moving in our community here. Brought to you by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, that invites you to join us each and every week to meet our community, because our community is your community. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.